I've seen it quite a bit. But that whole "aww" thing is very funny to me, that that's like become synonymous with glory of someone. Like if Tim Tebow walked through our doors this morning, there'd be like this "aww." Somebody would do it probably. I don't know. It used to be really cool because when that partition wasn't there and the light shines in, whenever anybody would come through the door, it would seem like there's like this halo glow about them. So thank goodness that's there now. But that absolutely has nothing to do with what we're talking about this morning. I'll just get off on the wrong foot as I can. What is your destiny? And that's what we're talking about this morning. What is your destiny? Are you created for some purpose? Were you supposed to be something that you're not? I know, I remember my mom several times making the statement to me that she wasn't supposed to be married to somebody like my dad. She was supposed to marry a prince that was rich and you know, gave her all the luxuries and all those things. And I think she was joking. But I never knew how to take that sometimes. And I wonder, you know, do we sit at our lives sometimes thinking, is this it? Is this all there is? And I know we wrestle with that sometimes. Is this what I'm supposed to be doing? And is this all there is to what I'm supposed to be? Is it just this? Is it living in this life and in this home, working this job day in and day out? Is this it? And we wrestle with this destiny, whether we were created to be something more than what we're living in right now. And a lot of times we face that question and we find ways to answer that or we pursue things. But it kind of boils down to that question, is this it? Is this all there is? And I believe to my core that in order for us to embrace our destiny, embrace our purpose, our reason for being here, we have to come to terms with an understanding about who God is in order to understand who we really are, who we were created to be. And every religion kind of seeks to solve that question in some way. But I believe that our God holds that answer to why we are here, what our destiny is. Now, many of you have pieces of paper that I hope you have constructed into a flying instrument. I practiced a little this morning, so I've got a couple, you know, minor modifications I've done to some planes, but I have no doubt that there are intelligent minds in here who spend hours a day practicing making paper airplanes that have outdone me. And what I would like to see is those of you that would like to come up and fly your airplane. I know this is a little unchurchy. It might be the most unchurchy thing I've ever done, especially after getting chills during the doxology. But anybody want to take a test flight? You can do it from your seat if you don't want to get up and maybe just toss it and we won't know where it came from. All right, there's one. Okay. Wow. We got a nice flight. Okay. Pretty good. Okay, I'm throwing your direction, so let's... That did better earlier. This one took me about 30 minutes to construct. Okay. I don't know which was the best. That was a little chaotic, I'm just going to say. But there was definitely one that made it all the way over here, which is pretty impressive. Now, here's the thing. What do you think makes the different one plane better than another plane? Yes, sir. The wings. Okay, it's definitely part of it. The design makes a difference. And I could take this one, and I'm going to break somebody's heart here. Was this a Hurley plane? Okay, if I took a chip out of a wing here and then attempted to fly it, it's my paper. let's see. It might still fly good. Okay, that's just speed and aerodynamics. There's nothing else. No wings there. Or if I took this thing, which did pretty well, you know, after my initial toss, and I, 30 minutes, man, it's going to hurt. I had to watch the video like six times to figure out what this guy was doing, and now it It's got a little turn now. A little turn's a little different. So if I change the design, it doesn't do what it's intended to do. And I want to tie this in a little bit now that I've completely trashed the setting. But what if we're like that? What if we're made with a specific design that doesn't work right if it's not used the right way? I used to you know, going on mission trips as a kid, and I always had this one older gentleman that went with our youth. I loved this man to death, still to this day, assuming he still loved him. But his name was J.L. McClellan. We've got a Jim McClellan in the church here, and I once thought they were related. But J.L., he every summer would go on a mission trip with the youth, and he was a very good carpenter kind of guy, and he took a liking to me and showed me how to do a lot of things, which I quickly forgot, and now I can't remember any of it. But he, one thing he got on to me about was, I mean, if I had a nail that needed to go in here and happened to have a crowbar over here, I'd be smacking that thing with a crowbar, and he would just preach into me, you've got to use the right tool for the right job. Some of y'all might have heard that as a kid growing up, use the right tool for the right job. And because there's tools that are actually made to put nails in, and they're hammers, not crowbars or whatever I might find. Or if I needed to pull something out or take a nail out, I would take the shortcut or whatever I could, or beat it back in so nobody could see it or something. But there were tools that were made for that job. And, you know, maybe we're like that. Maybe we are designed for a purpose. And when we're not used for that purpose, we're not as effective. We're not what we're intended to be. We're not what we're designed to be. Now, we're going to look at a verse here, and really the key to this passage that I'm going to read in Colossians chapter 1, verses 10 through 16 is the end. So listen to the first part, but the end kind of really is the hinge that it all sits on. It says this, "And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." This is the key verse. "For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him." All things were created by him. So he's the creator. He made the plane. And for him. If he was going to fly it, it's going to fly for his glory. It was made for him. Now think about that. If that's true, what does that mean for us? We are created by God for God. You know, for one thing that jumps out to me, if we were created by God, for one, we are not an accident. We're not a mistake. We're not a mess up. We're not a wish we'd done it over. We were designed and created by God for something, for a specific purpose. And in that generality, for him. And we share that in common as people. We were created by God and for him. And if that's true, then our destiny already exists. Think about that for a minute. If we were created by God and for God, and he knew us in the womb, perhaps our destiny already exists. The plane, some of them were designed very well, had its capabilities. If you throw it hard enough, most of them will go somewhere. But if we were created by God, for God, this is what we're designed to do. The paper plane's designed to fly. We are designed to be for God. It's frustrating when something is designed for something and it's used differently. Think about people, I don't know, maybe think about Shaquille O'Neal. I mean, what if he'd taken up rugby? We know Shaquille O'Neal is a great basketball player. If Jordan had taken up table tennis, what a waste of, maybe not waste, I mean, they might have won a gold in the Olympics or something like that, if y'all are table tennis players. But, you know, this amazing talent that was obviously created to do amazing things, that he was made to be gifted in those ways, designed for something. But when something does what it's designed to do, it's a beautiful thing. If Peyton Manning had taken up synchronized swimming, you know, we wouldn't see what he does on the football field. Or I mean, you could look at all these kind of things, and you know, we're looking at people, which are imperfect objects, and clearly they could do other things and do them well. But you know, that picture that something is clearly designed for something, and they do it well. And if they don't do those things, you got to imagine they might find themselves frustrated. And I think sometimes, you know, again, with us, is we feel like we are created for something else, that there's something bigger to this life, there's something bigger to this picture, and we don't feel like we're living it out. And we may find ourselves frustrated in it. And it makes sense, because maybe we're not doing what we were designed and created for. God's word here says that we were designed for God, that we were made by Him and for Him. And when we get this, and when we really wrap our heads around it, I would think this would rock our world. It would rock our world. If you were created for God and you have a purpose, you can jump right into living that. When you start realizing that the switch goes off, you can jump right into living that. I am supposed to be living this for God. That the very being that's responsible for breathing this entire world, everything that we know, every body that we know, everything that we see, every mountain we've ever spotted, that He breathed that with a word into existence, that God created you for Him, for a relationship with Him and to be with Him. And then you mix that with the picture of the Garden of Eden. And we see in the Garden of Eden that there's a time where everything is perfect, right? And people were living in that reality. They were created by God and for God, and they were living in that. And there was peace and there was unity. And the picture is perfect. And then at some point, we have the choice. There's a choice for us to choose to pursue our own purposes. And I'm not saying Adam and Eve's purposes, because we make this choice every day. We choose to pursue our own purpose. We choose to pursue purposes that are outside what we were created for. And the world enters into a tailspin. And the Bible describes, you know, the pains that the world's going through are like birthing pains, which I honestly haven't experienced, but I've been nearby. And so this world, you know, is slowly decaying and falling apart and going through these birthing pains. And God, through His Son Jesus Christ, the very being through which these things were created, is sent out to reconcile man to God, to bridge the gap, if you will. Now, if you were made to glorify God, how frustrating is it not to be doing what you were created to do? And so many people wander around aimlessly without that purpose in their life, still pursuing the things that get in our way. And it is so easy for us to do. It's so easy for us to pursue. John Ortberg calls them shadow missions. Shadow missions. That we have these things in our life that are kind of our dark missions, that are really the purpose, the thing that we're pursuing. And we do. We find ourselves stuck in a rut, frustrated with where we're at and where we're going and what we're doing, because we're pursuing something that possibly is self-gratifying, and we're not pursuing the things that are glorifying God, the God that created us for Him. Colossians goes on in verse 17, chapter 1, verse 17, it goes on to say this. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. He's talking about Jesus Christ here. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Not only were we created by him and for him, but when we took the free will that we had and we chose to pursue our own purposes, he made the way out. He corrected our mistake and gave us the avenue through Jesus Christ. It says, once we were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. And with that, we have the opportunity now to live with him, for him. Again, if you continue in your faith, verse 23, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. We've been in that separated. We've been and maybe find ourselves still in that wrestling of purpose. And I would just say to you, if you find yourself caught up in this, you know, the shadow mission, that you feel like you're not happy, or this isn't it, this isn't enough, or you're really living it out, you know, maybe look at what you are purposed for. What are you living your life as a purpose in doing? And you may find yourself caught up in one of those shadow missions. I think what we see from God is that we have that clear choice, and I think this is a point that's kind of important, that God, even though he's created a destiny for us that he wants us to live in, that he's designed us for, that destiny already exists, and he's created us for it, he doesn't force us to live in it. Think about that. Unlike the airplane, which doesn't have a choice to at least attempt to fly, because we're going to throw it, we have the choice to live in that destiny that God created for us. It's a choice. Choice. And we see in God in that opportunity to make that choice. You know, that God showed his love for us way more than just saying, I love you. When God looked down on us and recognized the state that we were in, the brokenness, that birthing pains that the world's going in, that he instituted a plan that was going to redeem man and redeem this world. And he demonstrated how much he valued you as participants in that destiny. He demonstrated it through a sacrifice of his son. He did it in such a way that was more than just saying, I really love you guys. I really hope you get it worked out. Now, I've experienced that more than words kind of love. I wrote about that several weeks ago on Facebook. I don't think I've really shared the whole story here, but they were doing a charity softball tournament for my brother. The police department was. And I was really excited about it. He's played in it for other officers over the years. For those of you that are new here, my brother is in has stage 4 stomach cancer and not a real good prognosis there. But anyway, the police department had really stepped up, and so they were going to do the softball tournament. They've always done it. It's usually Largo Fire Department against the Largo Police Department. Well, when some other area government organizations found out about who it was, and apparently he's made an impact in some other lives, it blossomed. And so they ended up with like 11 teams that were going to be in this thing. And my whole family was really moved, my brother included, in the fact that there were that many people that were going to now be a part of this. Well, I got a call like a week before it happened from an old high school buddy of my brother's that I haven't seen for probably 16 years. And he just said, you know what, we've got a bunch of guys that we've been talking to up here and in Jacksonville, and we're getting a team together, and we're gonna go down and play in the tournament. And so I got the opportunity to suit up with these guys. I haven't seen for 15 or 16 years. And what impressed me about it was that guys that he hasn't talked to in that amount of time, you know, drove, and that was at the tail end of whichever Faye that came across here. We kind of drove through that, and you know, we're sitting there and we're wondering who all was actually. I had no idea who was coming. We didn't know who was going to show up. They went so far. One of the guys owns a print shop, so he made up shirts, and the teams were named after my brother. And I won't describe. It was they used to call him the Milkman. I don't really know why. High school thing, and probably not a good reason for that. I don't know if he took him cow tipping or if it was girlfriend. I don't know. Anyway, but they named him the Milkman, and we all had the number. I mean, somebody remembered the numbers that we used to wear when we played church softball together as teenagers. And so, you know, they had that on the jerseys. They gave little shirts to my mom and dad. And anyway, it was just. It was amazing. And then, you know, we get there that morning and I walk up and we just saw people from that past that I honestly, some of them I couldn't remember their names. And we had just enough to play. We had 10 guys there and we played. We didn't play very well, but we had fun. But I remember vividly when Mike, who really didn't know who was going to be there because they hadn't told him who all was coming. And my brother is a stoic guy. He is not a emotional force in any which way, shape, or form. But he saw my old youth pastor, and his son was there playing. And when they hugged, I mean, it was one of those hugs that I'll never forget. I mean, it everybody just started kind of losing it at that point. But that was the thing that struck me, is that was a love that people showed to him and to us that was more than words. I can't even begin to equivocate that to what God did for us. But when I think about the fact that I can get choked up about what people did for my brother, and sometimes I get so callous to the fact what my God did for me, because he knew he had created me for something more than what I could live if I didn't embrace what he was going to do. I don't know if I'm even making any sense here. But if I didn't embrace what he was going to do, I didn't have a chance. And so he sends his son down for me. We're told that God demonstrates in Romans 5:8, that God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, while we were still living a life where we didn't want it, or didn't recognize that we needed it, that Christ died for us. Why? Because we were made for God. We were designed to love and to glorify him. We went through some of this a little bit at summer camp in Daytona with our kids and Louis Giglio. And, you know, that realization, I think, on our kids' lives that this is what we were made to do. And that he went through these unbelievable, unthinkable things to give us the ability to do it, to live out that purpose. 2 Corinthians 5, 18-20 says this: all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We're created for him, and we have a purpose beyond that we have a purpose to live for him, and now we have a purpose to carry out that ministry of reconciling man to God. That changes everything. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed us the message of reconciliation, to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. I don't know how you can read that and not realize that in God we have a purpose. That God is ushering in a future where all men are going to be reconciled to him, and we are the ones, we are the instruments of that future. So you can't wake up tomorrow and callously go about your day not realizing that you have some kind of call and some kind of purpose on your life that is bigger, and it is those things. And it's all those things you've been questioning. Are you a part of something bigger? And the answer is yes, absolutely. But living, it's a choice. Irwin McManus said this, "Your destiny is not something out there waiting for you to experience. It already exists. Your destiny is something God calls you to, and it takes courage to create it. It's already created there for you. But it does take courage to step into it, courage to live it. And it's part of everyone. Everyone here, everyone in this room is created by God with a purpose. And God does not force us to live in that purpose. That's a choice. And yes, the purpose is the same in a lot of ways for us. And it gets broken down more than that. I mean, we could look at that and say, yes, maybe the light switch went off for you, and you're like, yeah, I see, I have a purpose, and I can engage in that, and I know I'm part of something bigger, and tomorrow, you know, maybe my life's a little bit different, that I go to work with a purpose beyond just filling out the paperwork or checking people out or, you know, whatever you do for work. It's beyond that. It's bigger than that. Everyone around you is part of that purpose. And every one of us is gifted in different ways, and that's where that picture of how you use your gifts and what those might be. Not everybody is a teacher. Not everybody is great at singing. I'm not. Not everybody is great at going out and maybe sharing their faith as well as other people are. Not everybody can go and pray healing prayers with people. Not everybody is gifted at administration. I didn't get that one either. But the purpose is the same. And whatever you have been given will be frustrated. I think that's a pretty safe statement, that we will be frustrated if we don't live in it. We don't use that the way that it was created and the way that it was intended. And when you do, you start to discover a beautiful thing that's as beautiful as you know, when you watch an athlete do what they are clearly designed to do. You watch, you know, part of God's creation do what it so does so well. You drive through the mountains during the fall and you see that the trees are made for God and by God. And you just sit there and stare and wonder at the different colors that you see there before they're gone. But maybe we're like that. Maybe we're like that. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, I just pray that maybe somewhere in the room this morning that switch went off. That maybe maybe somewhere in the room this morning someone just woke up to the realization that they have a purpose in this life. And I guess I just pray that we don't walk out and forget it. That we don't walk out and let the shadow missions kind of take over. But our soul cries out to live for you, because that's how you designed each and every thing that rests on this earth. So my prayer this morning, God, is that we all get it, that we see it. And not only that you created us for you, but you paid a price to make sure we could live in that destiny. to give us the courage, the strength, and the wisdom to live into that destiny and to experience and share that joy, to experience and share that ministry of reconciliation that you gave to us, and whatever our peace may be. I pray this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ.